I want to just look at this word came up in my heart, and I want to just focus just a few minutes on this. I'm not going to go back and review too much, but I want to just, this word liberty or freedom came up in my heart, and I started to look at a number of different scriptures. And we know from 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty or freedom. But 1 Peter 2:13 and verses 13 through 17 in the Message translation, it says, make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Now, this is where I want to continue this morning. Exercise your freedom or liberty in Christ by what? Serving God, not by breaking the rules. This is the scripture I wanted to land on here. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government. This just really kind of really went off in my heart. Treat everyone you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God and respect the government. You know, when you look up this word dignity, this says treat everyone you meet with dignity. That means people you don't know. Dignity is a quality or state of being worthy, honored, or esteemed. That means you're to honor and esteem everyone that you meet with dignity. And actually, in the King James, it says, honor all men. That means value them. So one of the things that, let me just jump over here to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 through 17 in the New Living Translation. And you just stay connected with me here because I believe the Holy Spirit wants us to remind us of something. It says, for you have been called to live in freedom or liberty, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom or liberty to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. And it goes on in verse 14, for the whole law can be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, it says, watch out, beware of destroying one another. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Verse 17, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. So then Paul goes on in that chapter. We don't have to, you know, we're not going to look at that right at this moment, but he begins to go further by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he begins to show us the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. And, you know, he begins to tell us what the fruit of the Spirit is, or the influence of the Spirit of God on our hearts. But let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and the first 8 verses in the New Living Translation. And I want us to look at this. Just want to share a point here that I believe the Spirit of God wants us to get here. And the New Living Translation, starting in verse 1 of 1 Corinthians, it says, "If I could speak all the languages of the earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." And then it goes on, "Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever." And now, one of the things that Paul wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 12 in the King James, he said that we are not only just to have love, we are to abound in love. And it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another." This is what we were just looking at over in at the beginning in 1 Peter. But it says we're to abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. Now, it also, it shares the same intent or the same thing in Philippians 1:9. But let's look at, it shares the same thing, that we are to abound in love. But John 13:34, in the King James in 35, it says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." What does that mean? All men are going to know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. And I just point out, because I just took the time to look, that jumped out at me. When you look at this particular way the Holy Spirit spoke this through Paul, I'm sorry, through John, he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." And it says the same thing, that phrase is used again in 1 Thessalonians 3:12. It says that you are to abound in love towards one another. He's talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ, and toward all men. Same thing. So we're to abound in love. That means we're to do what? Increase. Now let's take just a final scripture here. I want to look at this. Hebrews, in the New Living Translation, Hebrews chapter 10, and verses 22 through 25. And we're still on this theme, even though I'm focusing in here on loving one another and operating in love and abounding in love, still talking about our theme is the heart and mouth. In Hebrews 10:22, it says, "Let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean." Hallelujah. "And our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise." Verse 24, this is what I was really want to land on here. Let us think, in verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another to what? Acts of love and good works. And verse 25, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. See, we always focus on not forsaking the assembly of one another is what the King James. But it also says what? But encourage one another. Especially now that the day of his return is near. So he just got done saying, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And then it says, when we meet together, let us encourage one another. So something the Holy Spirit is just strongly impressing upon my heart is to remind us, let us watch our words that we use to express ourselves to one another. And the other thing he reminded me, let us watch what we are saying to one another on Facebook and other social media platforms. Watch our words. The world is watching the body of Christ. This is what he said, by this shall all men what? Know that you are my disciples. Watch what you say and post. I'm not judging, I'm just saying this is something the Holy Spirit has impressed me strongly to express and to say today. Receive it as from the Lord. But the world is watching the church, the body of Christ. Before I release those words, think about how it may affect the other person and those who hear it or see it. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us make an effort to walk in love and stay in unity with each other. If we've missed it, we all have at some point. Just repent. The Holy Spirit will let you know you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have posted that. You shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have expressed it just that way. And so if we've missed it, let's ask God to forgive us. He'll cleanse us, and we can go forward and move forward because faith works by love. And if the love is off, so will your faith be. Just wanted to share that. The kingdom of God operates on the principle of seed time and harvest, or sowing and reaping. So the law of Genesis, everything produces after its own kind. So the seed of strife is in itself. The seed of strife is in strife itself. Strife will produce strife. If you get into strife with someone, it'll produce more strife. The seed of love is in itself. If you give love, you'll reap love. This is how the kingdom of God works. It says, if a man should cast seed into the ground. So let's start our lesson. I know I wanted to just share that. It was in my heart strongly to release that. Let's look at Romans 10:17. We're familiar with this in the King James. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes, and in the Passion Translation, when we talk about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we're talking about that word rhema. And so this here is similar. It expresses a little differently, I think. It says, faith then is birthed in a heart that responds to God's anointed utterance of the anointed one. We're talking about the revelation of God, a revelation of his word. So faith comes to those who believe the word, those that believe and act on that which they believe. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the revelation from the word of God. So revelation will cause faith to come and faith to grow. We can grow in knowledge or increase in the knowledge of God. We can increase in revelation knowledge. If we increase in revelation knowledge, then we will increase and grow in our faith. And we touched on some things last week on the shield of faith. I'm not going to touch on that today because I want to get these other points out on the subject of hope. But let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, talking about faith and hope. But I want us to look at this and share some thoughts today. I believe it will help us. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, what's the evidence? My faith is the evidence of things not seen. So here, I want to just read something. These are translations that, these are older translations. This is a translation called the Berkeley translation. It says, but faith forms a solid ground for what is hoped for, a conviction of unseen realities. The Knox translation, what is faith? It is that which gives substance to our hopes, which convinces us. What convinces us? Faith does. Faith convinces us of things we cannot see. This is the New English Bible. And what is faith? Faith gives substance to our hopes and makes us certain of realities we do not see. What makes us certain? Faith does, but faith gives substance to our hopes. So faith is not hope, and obviously hope is not faith. Faith gives substance, two separate things. Hope, the message today, hope, faith's partner. So hope is necessary for faith to give substance to. If there's no hope, then faith has nothing to give substance to. This is an important piece to think of. The Jordan translation. Now, faith is the turning of dreams into deeds. It is betting your life on the unseen realities. Hallelujah. So faith, or we could say, is translated another way, is conviction or assurance. But hope is a very important partner to faith. Hope, and this is the term I'm going to use here today, hope is the goal setter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do we hope for? We hope for the things that God has provided for us. Hope is a partner to faith. When the sick come for prayer, I'm going to use some examples here. When the sick come for prayer, they hope to be healed. If they don't have hope, they wouldn't have come for prayer. Since faith is the substance of things hoped for, then there must be some hope, or there wouldn't be anything for faith to give substance to. Don't try to use your faith where hope should be, and don't try to use hope where faith should be. Hope has no substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance or assurance. Let's use that word. Faith gives assurance to things we hope for, or another word for hope is what we expect. So faith gives assurance to something we hope for. There must be some direction of faith. There must be some direction of faith. Your faith gives substance to something hoped for. Hope gives direction to faith. It is the goal setter. Hallelujah. If you give up hope, then faith has nothing to give substance to. This is an important thing to keep in mind. We quote these scriptures so much, but we've seen this in some situations. When some people are very sick or they're distraught, they do what? Or the financial situation is just too much, they give up hope. And then faith has nothing to give substance to. Faith is there, but if you give up hope, faith gives substance or assurance to something that we hope for or we expect. What are we expecting? Something that's promised us in the Word of God. Hallelujah. I can have hope, but faith gives me the assurance of something that I'm hoping for. Some people just are. We see the divorce rate. We see people with suicide. They've given up hope, and faith has nothing to give substance to. So there must be faith and hope. They're partners. They go together. Faith is the divine energy of God. It comes how? By hearing God's word. It is the substance of something desired or hoped for. We must learn to sow the seed of God's word. Words are seeds. We speak the word of God, the promises of God. We do what? We speak them where? Into our hearts, and it springs forth and it grows up and produces a harvest of faith or assurance in what seeds you've planted. My faith gives substance to something hoped for or expected. Hallelujah. What do I expect? Something, let's use healing as an example. It says, whose own self did what? Bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Since God's word says that I have been healed, then what? My body is healed of this condition, if you have a condition, and I give thanks for my healing. Now I want to take a look here at Mark 4 and verse 26. Still have more to cover here. Mark 4 in the King James, Mark 4, 26 through 29. Stay connected because we're going to still unpack this, unfold this here a little bit, and it's going to help us all. I tell you, I saw some revelation here. I said, oh boy, I've given up on some things or let some things go. Some things I hold on to. I have an expectation for it. And I'm not giving up on it. This is things that I've seen or know for years. Some for 30 years. I expect it to happen. Mark 4, 26. And this is the King James. And it says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should what? Cast seed where? Into the ground. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. How? He knoweth not how. Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And we know, if you back up, the parable of the sower refers to the ground as the heart of man. The seed is sown into the ground, or to the heart, or the spirit of man. The heart, or the soil, I'm going to refer to this, is the production center. It's the ground. It's the place where seed grows. It's the production center. God's word is spiritual, but it works like a natural seed. It must be planted and watered. The heart of man is spiritual, but it works like natural soil. The seed must be planted in the heart, like the soil, by hearing the word of God and doing what? Continuing to water by the hearing of the word of God. The heart is designed to produce like the soil, the natural soil. So I want to use this example here. And this is where I wanted to get to, where faith and hope is concerned, and hope being a goal setter. Here's a natural example. Let's look at a piece of equipment which most of us have, I would dare say. If you have a house or you have an apartment, is in your car, the various things. You have a piece of equipment. It's called a heating and air conditioning unit. It is the heart of the heating and air conditioning system. That's all it was ever designed to do, was to produce heat and cold. It has substance, but the designer, the engineers, designed it to do that. But it is designed to produce whatever you dial into that thermostat on the wall, which is what we call the goal setter. The heart of the unit is what? Designed to produce whatever temperature you dial into the thermostat. So let's use this example. Let's say it's 90 degrees outside, and you set the thermostat to 70 degrees inside. Our job is to set that goal setter to 70 degrees. I desire cool air. I desire 70 degrees in the house, but it's 90 outside. I don't have it yet. As long as it is kept on 70 degrees, that unit will work night and day until that goal is reached. You don't have to fast and pray that it would work. The heart, or the unit we're talking about here, this air conditioning or heating unit, knows what to do and how to do it. That's what it's designed to do. All you would need to do is set the goal setter, set that thermostat, and it would send an impulse to the heart of that unit and say, get us some cold air in here, it's hot. And now let's relate this to the heart of man. The heart of the heating and cooling unit is like the heart of man. You must set the goal for the thing you want produced. Faith is the substance. It's the production center for things of things hoped for, and hope is the goal setter. What you continue to speak becomes your goal. It's the goal setter. Like the thermostat on the wall, your spoken words send an impulse into your spirit by saying, in the name of Jesus, by his stripes I am healed. I am redeemed from the curse of the law, and I forbid sickness and disease in my body. You're setting your goal on healing. You set that goal, that thermostat, that goal setter on healing, and as you continue to release your words, like setting the thermostat, and you keep it there and you keep it set on healing or prosperity or love or joy. These are all promised to us. Talking about, we were over in Romans chapter 5. And I'm sorry, in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, faith, long-suffering. You set your mouth, you set the goal setter, the heart, which is the production center, the mouth sends an impulse down to the heart, and it will work until it produces that which you've set your mouth to or the goal to. Because you've done what? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Your faith will grow and increase, and it'll come by hearing you speak the word of God. Hallelujah. So someone might say, you can't say you are healed when you're sick. That is lying. But let's relate it back to this thermostat in your home. It's 90 degrees outside, and you come in and set it to 70. Someone says, you can't do that. That's a lie. It's not 70 degrees in here. That'd be foolish, wouldn't it? That's the way to make the heating and cooling unit work the way it was designed. We have to follow the principles or the design of what? Faith gives substance to that which is hoped for or expected. You are calling for that temperature. We're talking about using this thermostat, and I set it to 70 degrees. You are calling for that temperature that is what? Not manifest yet. That is the way the system is designed, and that is the only way it will work. Here's another example. If it's 90 degrees outside and you set it to 90, what are we talking about? You're talking about what you are experiencing, what you see, not what you desire. If you set it, if it's 90 and you set it to 90, there will be no change. The unit remains inactive, producing nothing. Hallelujah. By looking at this example, or you could say it's easy, it's an easy way for at least me, the way the goal setter or thermostat works. We set a goal. So the heart or the spirit of man is like the heart of that heating and cooling unit. It is designed by God to produce what you plant in it. You plant it or set the goal by speaking it. You plant the seed by speaking or hearing the word of God. You also set the goal or set our expectations by what we speak. This is what Mark 4:26 said. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Here's another point to make. A seed to a farmer is a goal setter. If you want to know what goal you have set for your garden, just look and see what seed you have planted. You plant the seed and it works. So for us, anybody, any farmer, if you want to know what his goal is, look at the seed that he plants. The goal or the goal is in the seed. It will work because it's designed that way. The substance is in the seed itself. So when we talk about this, faith is in the seed, in the word of God. Love is in the seed itself. Peace is in the seed, in the word of God. Joy is in the seed, in the word of God. We just have to do what? Set the goal setter to say, I believe I operate in love. I believe that I operate in peace. I believe that I operate in joy. We're doing what? We're setting the thermostat or the goal or the expectation of something that I may not have at that point. But the heart of man, which has what? The fruit of the Spirit, will continually work until that goal setter or goal set is reached. So we may have opportunities to not walk in love, but we keep the setting where it's supposed to be set. We don't move it off. Hallelujah. So what harvest or goal is in the seed? We just shared this. Love, joy, peace, faith, healing, prosperity. Faith is, again, the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I'm going to say it this way. Faith is the substance of everything needed to accomplish the goal hoped for. That's another way of saying it. Faith is the substance of everything needed to accomplish the goal hoped for. Think I'm going back to this example of the heating and cooling unit. The cooling unit, or heating and cooling unit, has electricity connected to it, and it is available at any time the thermostat makes a demand on it, just like our heart. What makes the demand? What sets the goal? Faith gives substance to something hoped for. No hope, no goal set. Faith doesn't give substance to it because there's no hope. There's no goal set. Here's a couple of scriptures. We're going to just tie this up here. James and the King James, James 2 and verse 17. It says, even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. No hope. It's not acting. James 2:26 says, for as the body, James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit of is dead, so faith without works or an action, a corresponding action, is dead also. And I'm just going to use this example to just close up here. In the Amplified, I want to use this and share this. This is the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5. In the Amplified Classic, in Mark 5, 27 and 28. And we know that she had an issue of blood and 12 years, and she didn't get any better. But I like this when we talk about, and it says, when she heard of Jesus, she pressed in and she said, if I just but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. And you might just think, well, she just said it once, the way the King James says it. But more accurate translations, she said in verse 27, this is the Amplified Classic, she had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up behind him in the throng and touched his garment. Verse 28. For she kept saying, a little different, she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. What did she do? She set the goal or her hope or expectation by her words, and she kept saying, she kept that goal set, and she didn't get off of it. Her words activated or put a demand on the power of God, and she was healed. So as we close today, remember, faith gives substance to something that we hope for. Our hope is like that goal setter or that thermostat on that unit that is there to give us heat or cool if we set the thermostat. We have to set the goal. So don't give up your hope. Don't let hope go, because then faith has nothing to give substance to. So you may have been standing for a while. Set your expectation or your goal, if it's prosperity, if it's whatever that is, if it's a business, set that goal, and I don't care what conditions come up. You keep your mouth set on the expectation or the goal that you hope for. Don't get off of it. Same thing with healing. Same thing with joy, peace. What did Jesus say? He said, in this world you should have tribulation, but what? Be of good cheer. That word cheer is courage. He said, what? Because I have overcome the world. So we can rejoice. And I would just encourage you, get this message, feed upon it. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to release this word today to remind us to not give up hope, not release or change the goal or the words in your mouth. And what I was opening up with in the beginning of this about watching what we say and how we use our words. When we start to release words in public and in social settings, whether it's on the internet, whether it's Facebook, do I really want to release those words? Is that what I want to give faith to? Remember, faith works by love. And it also says that which is not of faith is sin. So let us watch what our words are, set the goal and expectation to something that is promised by God, and faith will do what? Give assurance or substance to that. Praise God. I think we're going to unhook here today, but I would also, again, as I say, encourage you, download this message, feed upon it, send it to somebody that you know may be struggling in a certain area, because God wants to do what? Encourage us, remind us, what do we read? Provoke us, find ways to encourage us in love and good works. Hallelujah. Let's encourage one another, not bite and devour. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you for this word today, and seal this to our hearts. Remind us when we get ready to speak and release words that they're words to encourage and to build up and to lift one another up. And we remind you, Satan, that we walk in unity towards one another, and we forbid you to operate in and through us with our words. In Jesus' name. Now, before we conclude, I'd just like to give an opportunity to for those that may be watching. Maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus, but again, the scripture is very clear that in order to be changed, in order to become born again or saved, if you will, the term used in the scripture, the word salvation, we need to do what? Believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Christ, he is Lord, and that God raised him from the dead. And if we believe that and confess that with our mouth, the scripture says we shall be saved. So let's make this simple prayer, believing God for our salvation. Father God, we thank you so much for what Jesus did. And we believe that you sent your only begotten Son. You said in John 3:16 how you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So we believe that you sent Jesus here to this earth to redeem mankind and to take on the sins of the world. And so, Father, we express with our mouths, we come to you and we say that we believe Jesus is the Christ and that you raised him from the dead. I receive him now into my heart as my Savior, and I ask you to cleanse me with the blood of Jesus and to make something new of me. And I receive that now by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you said that and you meant that in your heart and you don't ever remember making that type of profession of faith, they've put some information on the screen here and you can contact us either by email or mail or by phone. We'd love to hear from you and let us know that you said that prayer for the first time and that you meant that in your heart and expressed it with your mouth, and we'll be would love to hear from you and send some information to you about who you've become in Christ.